It's time to start our morning service, and can we begin with hymn number 206? 206. Good morning and welcome into the house of the Lord. We thank God for bringing us together about His Word and to be able to read His Word. Do we have any greetings?
Greetings from Marianne, Monica, and Richard.
From Marianne, Monica, and Richard. Thank you.
Brother Mark Igich from Vista sends his loving greetings here.
Mark Igich. Thank you. Cheryl sends her greetings. If there are no other greetings, let's move on. Eastern Camp is 3 weeks away. It's July 20th. so if you haven't registered yet, I think you would have to pay a late fee to try to register now. But that's coming up, and also pray for that, because there will be many there and hearing the Word of God for an entire week, and that we appreciate that. And Cheryl went through her surgery, and how did it go? Perhaps you can give a...
Improving day by day.
Thank you.
No.
And also, Chris is going to have a surgery on her right shoulder on July 10th. And Mike Smith has a... he keeps having trouble with his back now, and so let's keep him in prayer. And then also, Mary Gibson's son, Nicholas, went for a surgery, and... There's an email about that I'm going to put up. And there's a picture that I had of Mary and Nicholas, but that was done in 2018, so that's like 7 years ago. He would be like 7 years older than what's in this picture, but I just want to put that on the board then. Our quarterly mission focus is Zambia, and keep them in prayer also. And then I'm not sure that many of you have heard about this, but in Nigeria 2 weeks ago there were Christians killed on their Independence Day or something, but I think it was reported that there were like 100 Christians killed. And by now it's about 200 Christians that have been killed. And so we worship and have a freedom to worship. And we see those are being killed for being Christians. And then we have a the newsletter from Nepomuceno, and I will we'll put that out. We can take a look at that. And then we heard that John Lotrian's grandmother passed away on Friday, and I don't have any more of the details, but we'll look at that when we go as we get details are come to become available. And then the July calendar is out. You can take one from the table in the hall there. Are there? We want to have an afternoon song service then after lunch. And is there anything else that needs to be announced? If not, let's sing from hymn number 190, Jesus Reigns, Let Us Adore Him. 190.
Good morning. Let's bow to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. We thank you, Father, for this time together that you have brought us here to study your word, to fellowship with one another, to proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord and King of all. We thank you for those who are here. We thank you for those who are on Zoom. We thank you for those who aren't able to be here. We trust that you are caring for them even though they are not here. Now we ask you, Lord Jesus, to give me the words to speak, to give your truth out, to expound on the scriptures of who you are and the love that you have for us. We ask again that you be glorified in all that we say and do. And we pray this in your holy name. Amen. I have two questions to ask before we start. Question one, why is June 13 an important date in Judaism? Think about that. And question two, what is your favorite verse in the Sermon on the Mount? Our text for today is in Matthew 7, verses 28 and 29. Matthew 7, 28, 29. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings that people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. I started preaching from the Sermon on the Mount 5 years ago, 30 plus sermons. We're at the end. In its 107 verses, Jesus taught the truth of what it meant to be part of the kingdom of heaven. I could go back now and read all those 107 verses, but that's not the point. Maybe we'll read some of them. We'll see. But these last two verses, as Matthew concludes his recording of the Sermon on the Mount, has three important words. The first one is that the people were astonished. They were amazed. They were knocked out of their senses. They were awestruck. And that word could also mean terror. They had never seen somebody or heard somebody speak as Jesus spoke. The second word is the word doctrine at the end of verse 28. That means the word teaching. And in the New Testament, it's translated both doctrine at times and teaching at times. And the third word is the word authority in verse 29. It's the Greek word exousia, and it means permission, the right, the liberty, and the power to do something. The people have been listening to Jesus speak all of these words, and this, my guess is there were many more words that he said that are not recorded here in the scriptures, okay? And they were just awestruck about how Jesus said these words. The typical scribe or Pharisee in that day and time would say, well, this is what Rabbi so-and-so says and how to understand the scriptures. Or, you know, here's the expert on this, and this is what he says. Jesus didn't do that. Jesus spoke from the heart. And he knew the original intent of all of the scriptures that they had at that time. That word authority is translated, the word translated authority is used over 100 times in the New Testament. About half of them, it talks about Jesus. Here in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said the words, I say unto you, 13 times in chapters 5 and 6. He had the authority to say that because of who he was, the Son of God. So let's look at some other references that deal with Jesus' authority. Let's go to Matthew chapter 9. Turn the page. Starting in verse 1. And he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they that brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether it's easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, then saith he to the sick of the palsy, Arise, take up thy bed, and go into thine house. And he arose and departed to his house. And when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. That word power is the same Greek word for authority. Jesus had the power and the authority to both forgive sins and to heal the lame man. That was clearly delineated here, and You know, again, people were surprised that here was this carpenter that could do these things. Who was this man? He calls himself the Son of Man here, and that clearly has a reference from the Old Testament of leading up to the Messiah. Matthew 21. We're going to read starting in verse 23, but let's talk about the context. This is just a few days after Palm Sunday. Jesus has come triumphantly into Jerusalem, sitting on a donkey, having accolades from all of the people, expressing their joy to see Jesus come. The next day, in chapter 21, Jesus cleanses the temple. The second time he does that, but he throws out all the people who are there trying to, you know, exchange money, sell animals for sacrifices. It was a marketplace. This is supposed to be the temple where God was to be worshipped, not a place to sell things. So he just basically cleared out the temple, got rid of all of that, and, you know, set the place, quote unquote, back in order. It says then in verse 14, and the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. So after he had cleansed the temple, there were those who came by who needed cleansing, healing, and he did that. And then, verse 15, and when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, and they were sore displeased. Hosanna. That was clearly a reference back to Psalm 118, where the psalmist said, save us. That's what Hosanna means. Save us. We need saving. And the spiritual leaders were just beside themselves. Don't forget, this is now after Palm Sunday, and just a few days later, Jesus will be crucified. So they were incensed by what Jesus was doing here. They just couldn't stand it anymore. And they were clearly plotting, as we read in other scriptures, on how to get rid of Jesus. But then, in verse 23, and when he was come into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching and said, by what authority dost thou these things, and who gave thee this authority? And Jesus answered and said to them, I will also ask you one thing, which if ye tell me, I likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, whence was it, from heaven or of men? And they reasoned with themselves, saying, if we shall say from heaven, he will say unto us, why did ye not then believe him? But if we shall say of men, we fear the people, for all hold John as a prophet. And they answered Jesus and said, we cannot tell. And he said unto them, neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. As Jesus was here back in the temple, it says he was teaching. What was he teaching here? Matthew doesn't go into that. But I wonder, you know, this is a couple of years now beyond the Sermon on the Mount, but I wonder if he was reiterating some of the teachings that he had given on the Sermon on the Mount. This is how you should live. This is how you should love. This is how you should care for one another. You know, did he talk about divorce? Did he talk about enemies? You know, all of what's covered in the Sermon on the Mount, was that part of his teaching? I think it was. And they were probably upset when he first said it, and I'm sure they were upset again Now, how did someone become a teacher in those days? It was something that the Sanhedrin or a group of the priests, high priest, Pharisees, Sadducees, bestowed on someone. You are now allowed to teach. You are now allowed to go out and teach from the Torah. That's now you have that responsibility. They were the ones who gave authority to others. So they knew that Jesus was never given that authority by them. So how could he do this? How could he go out and teach and preach and do all these things? Who allowed him to do that? But he knew that they didn't care for John the Baptist, so he kind of, you know, said, okay, I'll tell you, but first you tell me, was John the Baptist, was it from God or not? And they, in their minds, you know, said, no, we'll think about that. If we say it's from God, then he'll tell us, well, why didn't we follow him? And if we say, no, we don't, you know, it wasn't from God, the people all felt that John the Baptist was a prophet. He clearly spoke the truth. He told them they needed to repent and turn from their sin. How many scribes and Pharisees ever said that? Did they ever say, repent and turn from your sin? We don't read that in the scripture. So I don't know the answer to that. But I almost get the impression that they did not, because they couldn't acknowledge that what John the Baptist was saying was important and needed to be done for each person. So they said, we really don't know. Said, okay, if you can't tell me where John the Baptist, was he God sent? I'm not going to tell you who gave me my authority. But we all know that the authority came from his Father in heaven. Doesn't say it here, but we all know that's where Jesus got that authority from. And we'll see that in Matthew 28, starting in verse 18. Very famous set of verses. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Again, that word power is the same Greek word for authority. And clearly, Jesus says here, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. So the Father bestowed that authority on the Son. And it's not spiritual authority or relationship authority. It's all authority in heaven and in earth. There was no limit to Jesus' authority. What does Jesus say here to the disciples and then also to us? Teach all nations. The responsibility of the disciples and the responsibility of us is to teach all nations, to teach the scriptures. And then going into verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. So not just teach, but to observe, to do all of the things that Jesus taught. And then baptizing them In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That is the authority that Jesus has, and He's given us the responsibility to keep doing that. Look in John chapter 1. I'd almost like to read almost the whole first part of John chapter 1, but I won't. Verses 1 and 2, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And then in verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is the Word, and it clearly says here, Jesus is God. That's the Trinity. I don't fully understand that, but Jesus is God. It is clearly stated in these verses. But then, in verse 14, I'm sorry, not 14, 12, but as many as received Him, Jesus, the Son of God, to them gave He power, the authority, to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. By believing in Jesus Christ, on who He was and who He is, we then have the authority to become sons of God. We are adopted into the family of God. We are God's children, His sons and His daughters. What a powerful statement that is. There's nothing that I did to earn that to become adopted. It's all done by God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. They're the ones who work in us individually and allow us, cause us to become adopted as the Father's son and daughter. John chapter 10, verse 17 and 18. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power, I have authority to lay it down, and I have power, authority, to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Jesus voluntarily gave up His life. And as we would read later on in all of the Gospels, when He gave up the ghost, He voluntarily went to that cross. He voluntarily suffered for us, and He voluntarily died for us because of His great love for us. But then it says, and I have power to take it again. He had the authority to rise again. That stone wasn't rolled away from that tomb so that Jesus could get out. He was risen long before that stone rolled away. He had the authority to rise again. And because of that, we have the ability or the promise to rise again ourselves and be with Him in heaven. John 17, verses 1 and 2. These words spake Jesus and lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify Thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power, authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Again, this is repeating what we've already said. Jesus has the authority to give eternal life to whoever he chooses to give. And specifically, clearly in Scripture, it's those who put their faith and trust in him. That's what we are called to do, to put our faith and trust in him. So back to the Sermon on the Mount. There are so many beautiful things that Jesus said in chapters 5, 6, and 7 of Matthew. I asked you two questions at the beginning today. Why is June 13th important in Judaism? Anybody know? It's 613. June 13th is 613. 613 commandments in the Torah. That's what the Jewish leaders over the years have listed. Every single one of them has a biblical reference to it. So it's not just something that somebody thought up in their mind. They looked through the Torah, the first five books of Moses, and that's the basis of the Jewish faith. 613 commandments, mitzvah. I might be pronouncing that wrong. A Jewish friend of mine had posted that and said, June 13th. I said, what's that? And so they explained it. Jesus addressed a few of these commandments in the Sermon on the Mount. And he taught them that following the letter of the law is not good enough. As I already said, 13 times in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, I say unto you, go back and read what was written, but I say unto you, this is what it means. It's not just the words and following the letter of the law. It's got to be from inside. What was the intent when those things were written back then? We all need to look within our hearts. Are we following the teachings of Jesus as he enumerated them here in the Sermon on the Mount? Really the whole scripture, but the focal point is here. Are we following the letter of the law versus the intent of the law? You have to answer that for yourself. I can't answer that for you. I ask you two questions. The second question, what is your favorite verse within the Sermon on the Mount? So this is not typically what we do, but anybody want to volunteer?
All of them.
That's an easy answer. Anybody?
5:14.
Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. That happens to be this July's memory verse, too. Anybody else? I agree with you, Brother George. They're all important. They're all good. But, you know, I really enjoyed the Beatitudes, and I really feel drawn towards the Jesus teachings on prayer. But Matthew 5:20 is the one that convicts me. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. If my righteousness is based on me following the letter, and I'll say it this way, of the AC law, I'm no better than a Pharisee. No better than a Pharisee. The word of the scriptures needs to be in my heart. And it needs, that Holy Spirit needs to be teaching me and showing me how to live, to do what is right, and how to treat my neighbor, and how to treat a co-worker, on how to give, on how to pray, on where my focus is on my life. You know, where's my treasure? Now, to be the light, as you said. I mean, there, it is just full of teachings that all have to come out of our heart. And that's my prayer as you go back, and I encourage you all to go back and read through the Sermon on the Mount for yourselves to see how Jesus' words here were so awestruck. I wonder, how many times do we read the Bible and are awestruck by what we read? Or, gee whiz, have we read it so many times that it's, okay, I've read that 55 times already, and it's another time I'm reading it. We really need to go and read the Bible and allow the Spirit to speak unto us, to find the truth therein, and then hopefully convict us to change. And again, for I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. It has to be a true belief, a daily belief, an hourly belief, following the word of God. Jesus clearly is the Son of God. God has given him all authority. And we owe Jesus all the praise. And one of the songs that we have in our blue folders is called Majesty. Majesty, worship His Majesty. Unto Jesus be all glory, honor, and praise. Majesty, kingdom, authority, flow from His throne, unto His own His anthem raise. So exalt, lift up on high the name of Jesus. Magnify, come glorify, Christ Jesus the King. Majesty, worship His Majesty. Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all kings. May we truly believe that Jesus is the King of all kings, and may our lives reflect that, and let us not go through our lives on a day-to-day basis just coasting along, but trusting in Jesus at all times. May God bless His word. Would someone please find a hymn to sing in closing?
284.
We thank God for His Word and His Spirit and sending His Son to the earth to that we could see who God really is, and we could understand through Jesus' teaching and through what He did when He was here on this earth, that how much God loves us and how much He loves each one. And He loved the nation of Israel. They were His chosen people, and He gave His Word to them. Yet at times they disobeyed that Word. It wasn't an important thing to them sometimes, but in living the daily lives that they didn't apply the Word. And we also have to apply the words His words to our life, and we just see what a mighty God He is. He is the one who has created everything, and even if we look at nature and look at how the trees grow and how they come and they things bloom in the springtime, and to know that God has created all that, and before that even was, God was there. That God was there, Jesus was there, and the Holy Spirit was there. It's more than our minds can really understand, but we can see how mighty a God He is and what He has done for us. And He wants us to live lives that are according to His Word. And like we read in the Sermon on the Mount, that we should take those words and apply them to our life, and thankful that God has given them to us. And we should realize how mighty God really is, and yet He wants to come and to live within us, in our hearts. And that also is more than we can comprehend, but we have to accept that as we accept that God exists and that He loves us, and we are thankful for that. Let's arise for a prayer. Our Father and our God, we come unto You and thank You for the mighty God that You are, and that You have sent Your Son and Your Savior to be with us and to cleanse our hearts, and that You have just sent Your Spirit also to be within us. And we ask that even though we aren't worthy of that, we are thankful that You have come to provide the forgiveness of our sins, where we have gone astray, and that we can repent and we can come unto You and we can have that wonderful grace that You show unto us. And Lord, we just thank You for that, and we ask that You would show us give us the appreciation for who You are and what You have done for us. And Lord, we just thank You and praise You. And Lord, as we would partake of a meal now, we ask that Your blessing would be upon the food, and that You would bless us throughout this day, and that You would be with us and direct us and guide our lives. For we pray it in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.